Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you.
Merciful God, your word is our way of truth and life. Create in us clean hearts and put your Holy Spirit within us, so that we may receive your grace and declare your praise forever. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The scripture reading for today is from the New Testament, Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 20. It is found on page 24 of the New Testament in your pew Bibles. Please follow along as we read. If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault of when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word that may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses.
If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such as one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly, I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by me, Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them.
Our scripture lesson is an interruption of our scripture reading. So in our scripture reading, you heard Jesus is teaching about forgiveness and reconciliation and bringing the community back together after wrong has been done. And as Jesus is talking about forgiveness, Peter, always ready with something practical, has a practical question for Jesus. Now, Jesus is going to respond to Peter's question with a parable, and that parable is going to be hard. There are going to be a lot of challenges to deal with in that parable, and more than we have time to deal with this morning. So I want to invite you to listen when Jesus responds to Peter. I want you to invite you to listen for what this story that Jesus tells says about how the world works. Listen for what this story says about how the world works. Picking up at verse 21. Then Peter came and said to Jesus, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him, and as he could not pay, his lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the lord of that slave released him, and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves, who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him by the throat, he said, 'Pay what you owe.' Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slave slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
When I sit down with families to plan funerals, sometimes I hear unflattering things about the deceased. Now, I also always hear plenty of good things about the deceased, but we all leave a mixture behind us as we go through this world. And sometimes it's just that the person couldn't cook, or nobody liked their taste in music. Sometimes it's a deep pain. Sometimes there are family secrets that have been carried through the life of this individual. You know what family secrets are, right? They're things that everyone in the family knows and no one in the family talks about. Sometimes I hear about those as well. And it's a privilege for me to be able to hold the space where people can bring some of these things back to the surface, where they can actually be sort of talked about and dealt with and resolved. So it's a privilege that I can hold that space, but I'm also sorry that people are not able to reconcile those pains that they may have with their loved ones while their loved ones are still in this life. Reconciled pain makes really good stories. Jesus is talking today about reconciliation. He's talking about a process for addressing sin between members of the Christian community. And he lays out this process that is both too hard and too simple for me simply to commend to you and go back and sit down. It's too hard because the thing that we're talking about here is sin. We're talking about actions that bring pain and often into our lives as we go through life together. It's too hard to commend to you because we may not, in any given circumstance, be ready to move on, to move forward into a process of reconciliation. It's dangerous to tell someone that they have to forgive sooner than they are ready to forgive. But it's also a process that's too simple. It's too simple because it's easy to neglect the way that the power dynamics and the relational history between people can complicate the process of coming to reconciliation with each other. And it's too simple because it assumes that there is a close relationship between the two and there's a community of support and understanding surrounding and sitting with the people as they come together for this reconciling conversation. And there may be other scenarios that might lead you to hear what Jesus said about coming together and directly addressing wrong, that you may know other scenarios that lead you to say, "Well, yes, but here's why that can't be done in this particular moment." There's work to do on it to lay the groundwork for what it takes to have this reconciling conversation. This is not easy or simple or even necessarily safe, depending on the situations in which we find ourselves. So I have to own that I can't authentically just stand up here and say, "Yes, that thing Jesus said, just go do that, it's that simple." I can't say you must forgive, and I certainly can't say that you must forgive on a certain time scale. I can't say that you need to forgive, and I'll come to that, but I can't say that you must. I can't say that you must because I'm the one with the most religious status in the room right now, and white men like myself have been telling less powerful people whom they have to forgive and when for far too long. I can't simply tell you you have to forgive because I know too many sins that the church itself has committed and has not yet repented of, or things that we are just learning to repent of. I can't just say this because forgiveness is a gift that is too valuable to be turned into an obligation. It's too freeing, it's too strengthening, it's too powerful for me to neutralize it with a command that says you have to do this. But I can say that we have to. We need to. I can say that the kingdom of heaven is about the reconciliation that is only possible for all of creation as we come back together with one another despite the brokenness that we carry through this world. I can say that the kingdom of heaven only comes into the world through forgiveness. I can say that the kingdom of heaven depends on our willingness to forgive. Whatever else Jesus' strange parable about these two slaves who were both in debt, one to the other and one to the king, whatever that parable says, it says that the kingdom of heaven comes into the world through not only God's forgiveness, but our forgiveness of one another. And I can say that repentance is key to forgiveness. Forgiveness can happen without repentance, but naming the whole truth that exists between us, that's essential for real, genuine reconciliation. And I can even say that forgiveness transforms not only the relationship, but the individual who does the forgiving. I can say that forgiveness releases both sides of the relationship from a past that they can no longer change and opens them to a future in which they can be made new. But I can also say that I think Jesus knows that we are not always ready to forgive. Even Jesus had to lay in the grave for 3 days before the resurrection could replace death with new life again. So I can ultimately say that Jesus' life and death and resurrection show us what forgiveness looks like. Jesus' life and death and resurrection make forgiveness real, not only for the whole world, but for the very particular world that each of us lives in, beyond every barrier, even that barrier of death. But I think we struggle with forgiveness because we know it. We struggle with forgiveness because we know the ways of the world. We know how things work. We saw the ways of the world in that servant who took advantage of the forgiveness that he had been offered instead of passing that forgiveness along. And we can call that human nature, or we can call that sin and brokenness. But that's one of the ways that we describe when we say the ways of the world. And Jesus' purpose is to bring a different way into the world. Jesus' purpose is to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth, to transform the world's ways, the world's logic of debt and payment. He comes to transform those into God's ways of forgiveness and reconciliation. Now, we so often cling to debt. Debt is something that makes sense to us. We are able to understand how every effect has some clear cause that we can identify as probably somebody else's fault. We know how to insist that everything in the world should be obviously fair in a way that we can do all the accounting of. We know how to try to prove ourselves right and somebody else wrong. But the kingdom of heaven conflicts with those ways of the world. The kingdom of heaven brings a new way of being that can't coexist with that logic of debt, brings a new way of being that is reconciliation, forgiveness, and new life. And that way of being conflicts with the way things are. As we read through parables that Jesus tells us through the season of Lent, we're going to see again and again the way that the kingdom of heaven doesn't just change the world, but the kingdom of heaven conflicts with the world. So just brace yourselves for that. Jesus' teaching, actually, that teaching that was so wonderful and smooth until Peter came along and interrupted it, that teaching actually has its roots in conflict. When Jesus invites, if you try to reconcile with someone and they don't listen, then take two or three others with you, so that he quotes here, everything may be confirmed by the testimony of two or three witnesses. He's actually quoting Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 15. So if you are really interested in ancient Near East criminal procedures, take a look at Deuteronomy 19, because it's all about what it takes to make a case and how we are not allowed to get more vengeance than we are entitled to. And this requirement of two or three witnesses is actually there in order to mitigate the danger of false accusations. It's actually there to make it a little bit safer for us to tell the truth to each other, because there's a structure there to preserve the truth in the midst of a conflict. So this whole chapter is there, as Jesus quotes it, the whole chapter is there to judge between one person who really wants the truth to be known and another person who really doesn't want the truth to be known. And it comes out in a way that is a little bit more refined than that old saying of might makes right, but the book of Deuteronomy knows that it's trying to work realistically within the world as it is, which is not the world as God has intended. Jesus takes that a step deeper down into God's intention. Jesus takes that verse and sets it in the midst of a community where the idea is that people are trusting one another and working together to seek and act on the truth. And it includes, as Jesus describes for us, this process of reconciling disputes. Reconciling disputes in order to work toward resolution rather than punishment, in order to work toward bringing the community back together again. Even the least positive outcome of the process Jesus describes, when he says, well, if they don't even listen to the church, then treat them like a Gentile or a tax collector. You know who Jesus keeps chasing around all throughout the gospel? Gentiles and tax collectors. So even when we have to say this relationship is not currently something that we can hold on to, it's still a relationship that we recognize Jesus is calling us back into. Calling us back into through repentance and forgiveness. Jesus welcomes outsiders into this kingdom of heaven that he is here to build. Welcomes us in through the door of repentance. He invites us to restore relationships in the church through the work of repentance as well. And so this all works if our goal is not to win, but rather to draw our sibling in Christ into reconciliation. And then Jesus promises, if even two or three can be reconciled, he is there with us. Did you hear that number, two or three, again? That's how conflict becomes the kingdom of heaven. Reconciliation, just between two or three at a time, that brings reconciliation within reach. All we need to do is to start with that one actual person in front of us, to speak the truth and to be willing to hear the truth for the sake of God's forgiveness. Now, we may not be ready for that at any given moment, and I want to continue to leave room for that, because this is fraught territory. We're stepping into something that is vulnerable. We're perhaps telling a secret that both of us already know. We are perhaps opening ourselves to new pain as it might come back into that relationship. But there is freedom there. That's the promise. There is freedom and transformation there in bringing the truth back to light. It no longer has to be a secret. It no longer has to hang over us. And now we can start working on it. The promise is that truth and forgiveness make the kingdom of heaven possible here on earth as it is in heaven. Will you pray with me? God of peace, your truth sets us free. Give us courage to speak and to hear the truth in your love and Christ's faith, so that our lives may be transformed and made new by your Holy Spirit. Amen.
And now, a moment for mission.
Hi, I'm Terry Springer. The OSP medical delegation began with the goal to provide much-needed basic health care and health education to the people of rural El Salvador. The medical delegation is comprised of physicians, nurses, a chiropractor, a physical therapist, and support staff. We also employ a group of interpreters from El Salvador. The medical delegation works closely with the pastoral team of the Our Sister Parish Mission to help determine the needs of the communities and help coordinate our annual visits. The fourth annual delegation, medical delegation, occurred on October 23rd through 30th of 2018. During this trip, we saw over 700 people. Our team consisted of 13 people, including covenant members, Drs. Stacy New, Mark and Lotsmi Hilliard. Past delegations have included myself and Covenant Church members Danny New and Kayla Phillips. The medical delegation are always in need of medical professionals and support staff. If you have any desire to participate or know someone that would like to join us, please see one of the delegation members. Covenant Church has always been a leader in the support of not only our sister parish, but also of the medical delegation. Our efforts are supported solely from donations and the funds raised each calendar year. All of the funds that are collected are used directly for the medications, equipment, and supplies that are needed to care for the people of El Salvador. On occasion, we are able to have a small contingency fund that we can use for those who need additional and ongoing care. This amount is small and has always been a goal to grow this so that the care could continue during the year in our absence. Thank you to you and many others. The medical delegation has been a success and meeting many of the goals for providing much needed care to the underserved and underprivileged people of rural El Salvador. Thank you for all of your continued support and encouragement.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.